Behind the Wheel with Peter Hitchener and Chris Miller. Driven by behindthewheel.com.au.
When do we go for a ride?
Look out, it's Commodore O'Clock this week. Welcome to a massive edition of Behind the Wheel. And yep, we're going to be talking all things new Commodore, Peter Hitchener, which I believe from what I can glean, I think you quite like the new Commodore.
I quite like it. I quite like especially the one I spent most time with, which was the top of the range Calais Tourer V all-wheel drive V6 right. And the works. And actually wasn't too bad. It reminded me of an earlier incarnation, which I think might have been Adventurer or some other made-up name.
There was the Adventurer, yes.
And actually,
well, that was kind of based on a real car, you know, that sort of originally was rear-wheel drive and was built in Australia.
Well, this one, anyway, we'll talk about it soon. I actually quite liked it, and I'm looking forward to finding out what you thought of the Commodore.
The Calais V as well. In fact, I'm going to take you around the block for a spin in the Calais V.
Oh, so look out.
Well, you can make up your own mind. Our good mates over at Havel, Andrew Ellis from Havel, in fact, makes a return to the show a little later on.
Good work.
He has got some interesting news on the electrification of Havel, which, of course, is the world's largest SUV manufacturer, which few people actually know about, because, of course, their home country is China, and they sell millions of them over there. Well, electrification on the cards. It's going to be plug-in hybrids. It's going to be full EVs. And we're also going to hear about some new factories, I believe, they're building too.
That's right. Giant factories. They certainly, from my knowledge of Havel, they go in for huge factories that turn out vast numbers of cars, which are eagerly snapped up by buyers, certainly in China, but an increasing audience here in Australia as well.
You're right.
Good to find out about that one.
Indeed. Now, answer me this. Is it dangerous to eat a McDonald's soft serve ice cream in the car while you're driving?
I think any kind of eating is probably frowned upon, as is any kind of makeup application, changing clothes, microsleeps, steering
with
the knees.
While eating a
Miller,
pounder.
Yes, I don't know anyone who'd have done that. Oh, hello, Miller.
With all the flat-bottom steering wheel cars that are around these days, you can't do it anymore. So, okay, I hate those things. Anyway, the reason I ask is we've got a lovely girl on, Elizabeth Barry's her name. She's from finder.com.au. They're into insurances and they're into everything, actually. But they've been doing a lot of research, have gathered a lot of data on what Aussies do behind the wheel and some of their most dangerous antics. Going to talk, too, about the impact that autonomous vehicles will have on your insurance premiums.
Yes.
And we're also going to find out where best not to park your Nissan Pulsar. I know it's a bit cryptic at the moment, but you will find out a little later in the show what the hell I'm talking about.
Okay, now, first of all, in my case, find your Nissan Pulsar because I don't have one. But if I do, well, you've got to park it somewhere so that it doesn't get stolen, maybe.
Who'd steal a Nissan Pulsar?
Hey, that's enough of that.
Simon Lai.
Sorry, Nissan.
He's been driving a car that you would want to steal, the Honda Civic Type R. Not that I recommend anyone do that. Save your pennies and buy it for yourself.
Buy it, yes.
We're going to hear more about the Type R, which you and I already love.
Love it.
And the gorgeous, the effervescent Rachel Franco is back with tips on how to get free money out of the New South Wales government. Can you believe it?
That sounds like a terrific idea. Free money, if there was such a thing, is always welcome.
Welcome. It's encouraged.
Oh, encouraged.
It's sought after. It's coveted. It's all those things.
Oh, absolutely. And more.
And I've been trying for 45 years and still haven't found anywhere you can get it. But anyway, that's a whole other story.
I think if there's free money involved, if it's too good to be true, it probably isn't true.
Probably is, indeed. Now, some have said the new Commodore could be described as too good to be true because it replaces an iconic vehicle that's been manufactured in this country decades.
Yes, it does.
So now the Commodore is a hatchback.
Yeah.
In some instances, a front-wheel drive.
Yes.
In some instances, a four-cylinder.
Yes.
And it's built in Germany. So my question is, does it deserve to be called a Commodore?
That is for Holden fans and enthusiasts to debate endlessly, I should think.
Mm-hmm. I would suggest that if Ford, for example, suddenly started rebadging their Mondeo as a Falcon, there'd be uproar.
I think you're probably right. And I know I spoke to a mate of mine who's got a couple of sandmen, sandpersons, sand whatever you want to call them in the family.
Yep.
And I said, okay, you're a Holden man. What do you think of the new Commodore? And he said, no, not a Commodore. So not everyone's convinced. However, you've had all models in the range.
Almost. I haven't had the diesel one yet, but I've had the four-cylinder turbo four.
How did you find that?
I actually really quite liked it.
Yep.
I think it's a nice car. It gets along well. It's got a nine-speed automatic, which I think is probably just a bit too much because There's too many gears. It can't really decide what gear it wants to be in.
Well, I think most cars with nine gears feel a bit the same, to be honest.
Yeah. I believe it's got something to do with the economy and keeping fuel consumption down. Yep. Fuel consumption wasn't bad in the four-cylinder. Look, it's not bad build quality. I've seen worse, but it's probably not the best build quality I've come across. It's a big-ish car, but no bigger than, say, a Toyota Camry. Not quite the size of the old Commodore, I didn't think.
No, it's smaller. It's definitely smaller, I think.
Yeah, well, it's narrower.
Narrower,
one.
Yes.
Yeah. Look, I just couldn't get over the fact that it had a Commodore badge on the back because I just feel everything about it is wrong. It shouldn't be called. Call it something else, and then I can look at it with fresh eyes. But all I want to do is compare it to the old car that was rear-wheel drive, that had V8 options, that was a great performer, was built here in this country, you know, had such heritage here, and then all of a sudden we've got this car. It just doesn't feel right. If you take the badge off it, and let's pretend we're going to call it the hoo-ha, well, if it's the Holden the hoo-ha...
The Holden hoo-ha, take it for a test drive. It's very stylish.
It's a great car.
Well, I must say, take the name out of it. It did attract a lot of attention, the model that I was driving, which, as I said, was the wagon...
The Calais, Tourer, Calais V.
The Calais V, the Calais V all-wheel drive V6
That's
motor,
right. Yes.
which was pretty good.
How it much goes do you reckon well. It was?
Well, that's the thing. I'm not quite sure if people are prepared to stump up $53,990 for it. What are your thoughts?
Well, when you look at that, and then you look at, say, something like the Kia Stinger.
That's right.
Which is a proper performance car.
Yep.
I think has a better build quality.
Yep.
And starts at 48. Yep. I know where my money would be going.
Yes, absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. There's a lot to be said. But still, you know, we hope that buyers who love their Holdens will stick with the new Commodore and
it's worthy.
Support the company.
You've got to check it out. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Mm. One other bugbear before we hit the road, the car I got into at first jumped in and went, it's a bit underdone, isn't it? There's a lot of sort of hard black plastics here. Mm. And then I went round the back of it and saw the Calais badge on it. And had it not had that badge, I would have sworn I was a base model Commodore.
I agree with you. I would agree that the Calais badge didn't seem to fit all that well with all the plastic. And the other thing was...
And 41 grand for
there
that.
There was a little bit of a squeak or a rattle somewhere in the finish or some part of the...
In the roof lining,
Of the station wagon. Yeah. I kept thinking, I wish that would stop doing that, because if there's one thing that drives you nuts, it's a squeak in a car and you can't find where it is and you're trying to drive and not be distracted. Keep those eyes on the road and you think, where's that coming from back there?
You could have the hottest Rolls Royce in the world and if it was squeaking, it would you'd rather get out of the Datsun 120i.
Yep, absolutely,
just to stop
send it
the squeaking
back.
Indeed. Yep. I think it's time to hit the road. I recorded this a little earlier live from behind the driver's seat, not behind the driver's seat, behind the wheel in the driver's seat of the Calais V with a 3.6-litre V6 and an all-wheel drive system with a 9-speed automatic and a lot of black plastic. Well, we finally made it. The all-new Commodore has arrived, and we're inside it right now. In fact, we're inside the Calais. Now, I suppose my biggest issue with this car is the fact that it's called a Calais. I'm kind of the opinion that it's a bit like Ford rebadging the Mondeo and calling it a Falcon. It's not quite as wide as the Calais that it replaces. It's just got a completely different feel about it. Obviously, all-wheel drive, you know, it's got plenty of grip, it's got plenty of poke, and it sounds all right. But interior-wise, I must say I've been a little disappointed with the Calais. I had one last week, which was the 2-litre four-cylinder petrol turbo version, and if it didn't actually say Calais on the badge, you would have thought it was a base model Commodore. Way too much black plastic for my liking. This V6 version is certainly more upmarket. Now, the digital dash is more, I suppose, informative, got a lot more features to it. You've actually got a sport button in this one. Look, it's a beautifully laid out cabin. The architecture of it and all is great. And there are some parts of it that you can see there's a bit of attention to detail there. But a lot of it, it's still that sort of hard black plastic. And for the money they're asking for this Calais, I'm not sure it's going to quite cut the mustard with buyers out there. To drive, I've got to say, it's a great car. Like, it's smooth, it's quiet. The tune that they've given on the suspension obviously has had some really great Australian input. It rides well, driving over tram tracks right as we speak, and feels fine. Dodgy roads through inner city Melbourne
not really causing too much disruption, certainly within the cabin. As you can hear, there's not a lot of sort of intrusive noise coming from outside. But the look of the car, it's just so vastly different from the cars that we're used to. And I wonder whether it might have been a better bet to, you know, start again, ditch the Commodore Calais names and come up with something new. Look, I don't know. Obviously, you know, there's more people over at GM Holden that have paid a way lot more than I am that have come up with this decision. But look, you know, if you are looking for a good quality mid-size or medium-size car, same size as a Camry, so it's not small by any means, look, it's definitely worth a look. But, you know, you can weigh it up against things like the Ford Mondeo, the Camry, the Mazda 6, and I'd suggest that there might be some better value out there. If you are looking for a performance car, the V6 version offers, you know, okay sort of performance, but really, for the same money, I'd probably be buying a Kia Stinger.
The ideal family vehicle has 7 seats, is spacious, practical, luxurious, and realistically priced. The new Havel H9 ticks all those boxes. The 2018 Havel H9 has just landed in Australian dealerships and boasts a turbocharged 180kW engine, 8-speed auto transmission, and more of the luxuries car buyers have come to expect from Havel. With 7 seats, great off-road ability, and a 5-year warranty, this is the ultimate family adventure SUV. Visit your Havel dealer to see what everyone is raving about, or havel.com.au.
You've heard us on the radio. Now check out the Behind the Wheel website. At behindthewheel.com.au, you can browse all our latest car reviews and car product reviews too. You can also watch our video car reviews and check out all the latest auto news. And make sure you leave your comments. Give us feedback, ask for advice, or just let us know all about your car. behindthewheel.com.au. Where motoring starts.
Behind the Wheel.
On the road. Accelerated by behindthewheel.com.au.
Yeah, lots to get through on this week's show. We're going to hit the road in a car that, well, in its first incarnation, Pete, I remember driving it and there was a small kid who I drove past and he had a look of horror on his face and then he proceeded to pick up stones and throw them at me.
Oh, you're not talking. I know what you're talking about. No, don't refresh my memory because I've been trying to forget it ever since I first saw one too.
Think rhinoceros?
I think so, yes. Although I have now become a little more used to the Infiniti
QX80,
whatever it is.
Yes. The behemoth.
My mind went blank after the first part of it. I thought, oh, it's an Infiniti. Oh,
look out.
which is strange because they're terrific cars and they really look marvellous. And of course, that particular one,
particularly after half a dozen beers, they look great.
Oh, hey, that particular one has acres of woodwork and wood trim around.
Doesn't
it's
it
sort
just?
Of like sitting at the wheel of a giant ocean liner and you're about to conquer some faraway sea.
Well, Joel's been driving it. It's been to the plastic surgeon, so it's had a bit of Botox, so it'll be interesting to hear what the latest edition of the Infiniti QX80 is like. However, before we do that, I would like to talk to our old mate Andrew Ellis from Havel. Those guys really coming along in leaps and bounds, of course. The world's largest manufacturer of SUVs. They got great warranties, and of course, we spent some time in the H9 recently, and we're pretty impressed. Like, value for money is unbelievable.
Yes, no doubt.
But don't want to talk about current product. I want to talk about what's going on in the future, and I believe electricity has a lot to do with it. So it's a big behind the wheel welcome to Mr. Andrew Ellis. G'day, Andrew. Welcome back.
Thank you very much, guys, and thank you for your time.
You're making great strides in the Australian market, but of course your company is looking much further afield than what the current sales in Australia are, because you've got big plans and a very, very big factory to make those plans come true.
That's true, Pete. Yes, Chairman Wei, the owner of the company, this week turned the sod on a new factory in the southwest of China, a place called Chongqing, which is west of Shanghai in the country south. For the listeners who've never been there, you're talking about a city of the population greater than Australia. It's over 30 million.
Oh, wow. Good heavens. And it's one we've never heard of.
And basically everybody who lives in that city either works at one of the car factories or works for a service industry that services one of the car factories. It's the automotive hub of China. So it's very important for Havel to have a new factory there. So that'll be come online next year.
Excellent. And of
next
course,
year. And he's just turned the sod. So, I mean, they do
they
things
don't
quickly,
around,
don't they?
they do not muck around. When they set their minds to do something, Havel just makes things happen.
And of course, you made what was, I think it was an $8 billion research and development facility happen recently?
$5 billion.
$5 billion. I'm prone to exaggeration.
that's the one in China, and they're in the process of developing four more around the world, one in Germany, one in Japan, one in India, and one in the States.
Well, will electrification have anything to do with these plans? Is that where Havel's heading?
That's a good point, Peter. And look, it is absolutely critical to Havel is electrification because it's critical to China. China in 2009 set upon a path what they call new energy vehicles. So basically, any vehicle that's partially or fully powered by electricity. Last year they sold, I can't remember the number of units, but this year they predict they will sell 1 million NEV units.
A million?
And they'll sell 2 million by 2020.
Wow.
Good heavens. That's extraordinary.
The uptake's incredible, isn't it?
Well, you think in Australia we sell 1 million cars total a year.
Exactly, and they'll sell 1 million electric ones. on the cards for Havel, are we likely to see an all-electric SUV here in Australia anytime soon?
The first steps are being taken now. One of your colleagues, Joel, will be joining us at the Auto China show in Beijing later this month, where we will unveil an all-new electric vehicle brand called Aura, O-R-A.
Okay.
So that'll be a separate brand under the Havel umbrella that will purely sell electric vehicles.
Wow.
We'll also see our new plug-in hybrid, the P8, which is a stunning piece of machinery. And the good news is for us here in Australia is the push to electrification means that we are going to be riding the cusp of that wave. So in 2020, we expect to see the first of the new range of plug-in hybrid vehicles. And our aim is that by 2022, one in three Havel vehicles we sell in Australia will be plug-in hybrid or electric.
That's extraordinary. Do you feel that the overall motor industry will be notching up similar sort of percentages?
I think after reading the tea leaves of other companies, it certainly looks like the direction. But we're going away from fossil fuels. We know they're running out, so we've been looking for something for a while now. What we'd really like is for one of the Australian governments to get on board and help us out. That'd be nice.
Yeah, wouldn't we all? A lot of manufacturers would have you believe that diesel is still absolutely the way to go in SUVs. And I must say, I noticed with some surprise there wasn't a diesel option available, for example, in the big H9. And then after driving the 2-litre turbo petrol 4, realised, well, there's no real need for
it.
But what's behind that, do you think? What's behind their big push on diesels when they've had such a bad rap over the last few years?
Australians' love affair with diesel is well known. And look, and it's been a terrific fuel for us. There's no axe to grind there. It's been terrific for farmers. It's been terrific for 4x4s. But the fact is, people, the rest of the world is turning to alternative fuels, and I think Australia will be one of the last countries that still clings to diesel, but those days are changing.
Yeah, absolutely. And can't come quick enough if you ask me. Awesome. Some great stuff on the horizon for Havel. As always, Andrew, we could chat all day, but we're out of time. Thanks for calling in. We'll get to talk to you again soon.
My pleasure, mate, and thank you very much for your time.
Alrighty, as promised, the car that, it's polarising, that's probably one way of putting it.
That's a nice way of saying it.
I've heard a lot worse.
Yes.
And
we won't go there, not on a family show.
No. Recently, our good friend Joel Helms has been back behind the wheel of a car that's just come out of the plastic surgeon's surgery suite. Clinical place.
Thingy.
That's it.
Yes.
It does look a bit better. It's had a bit of Botox. You can see the wrinkles around its forehead gone a little bit. Its lips are a bit puffier.
Yep.
And its eyebrows look a bit more interesting.
I must find out who that surgeon is.
Infinity QX80. It's a behemoth of a thing based, of course, on the Nissan Patrol.
Well it was.
Well, I think it's still the same size.
Well, look, I saw one the other day.
Yeah.
And I saw also the Nissan large
version,
SUV.
Yeah.
And I thought, what's the matter with me? They're actually looking pretty good. What happened?
Well, I don't know. Joel Helms, he returns. Are you able to look at the Infiniti QX80 for a long period of time without having your retina burn or kind of feel ill?
I'm sorry, Joel. It's a bit of editorialising here, but you know.
Well, I think that the styling of the previous generation, which was the first generation QX80 that was seen in Australia, it missed the mark. I don't think anybody, or very, very small percentage of the potential buyers, looked at it and thought, that's a great-looking car. It was bizarre. Let's put it that way.
Bizarre, that's the word.
It looked like a rhinoceros from some angles.
Yeah, beluga whale.
Beluga whale, yes.
But now it's definitely more mainstream, and I think it's a lot less likely to offend potential buyers.
Yes, I agree with that.
What about the price of it, though? Because I just seem to remember the last price was almost as offensive as its looks.
Well, it's still exactly the same price, just under $111,000, and only available in one specification level. You're paying extra for some premium paint, but basically that's what you're going to be paying. And I've got to say, although I feel sort of strange saying this, it's actually a pretty good value in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at the Lexus alternative, which traditionally has only been V8 petrol, you're looking at about 140 odd for that.
Mm.
You're looking at 134,500 for the new V8 turbo diesel version of the Lexus, the LX450D, which has been announced in recent days.
Yep.
And then if you look at alternatives in the large, the upper large SUV area, well, really, you're looking at Range Rover models, and you're going to be a lot shy. You're not going to get anything from $10,000. In a way, if you're looking for a big behemoth of a luxury SUV, really, it's your only choice unless you want to, start getting up to that 150 mark.
When I drove the previous version of this car, Joel, I remembered once you had actually hauled yourself up into the cabin, which only took 5-10 minutes something. then when you got there, there was lashings of woodwork as far as the eye could see, and it felt like
quilted leather, of course.
Quilted leather, of course. Yeah. You can't go anywhere without that. And then it really did feel like you were behind the tiller of a large luxury ocean liner. Is it still a bit like that?
Yeah, and it still handles a bit like an ocean liner as well. It's just a bit spongy. Look, it's basically exactly the same. They haven't made any changes to the dashboard. The seats are a little bit different. The quilted leather seats, so they're very comfortable. Mm. There's heaps of room. I mean, there's plenty of space inside.
It's vast.
But you have to forego a few things. So things like Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, not there. Digital radio, not there. Mm. It's got heated and ventilated seats. It's got DVD screens, which are a little bit larger now in the new model for the rear seat passengers. It's not a bad thing. It's comfortable enough. Yeah, probably the only problem that you've got with it is the fuel consumption from the V8.
It's a 5-litre V8, isn't it?
It's larger than 5 litres.
5.7, maybe?
5.7 litre, exactly right. Mm. 298 kilowatts, 560 newton metres. But if you're talking about a petrol engine with 300 kilowatts and pulling around a base weight of 2.7 tonnes,
wow,
you can do the math. We're averaging about 17 litres, and that was pretty much... Well, that was some albeit pretty tough, rough and tough off-roading, which I was really surprised at how well the QX80 did off-road, even with highway terrain tyres and big alloys. But, most of the country driving, and you were up there in those 16s and 17 figures. In bumper-to-bumper traffic, you'd be on the other side of 20. But in all fairness, that's exactly the same as the Lexus V8 petrol.
V8 petrol as a version as well,
competitor.
I suppose the big question is, would you recommend someone to go to their Infiniti dealer and actually purchase one?
Well, I guess so. I mean, when you look at it from the comparison of if you have your heart set on buying a large SUV and you've got plenty of money to spend and you don't want to quite spend as much as the Lexus or a Range Rover, then I don't see any reason why you wouldn't, so long as you're prepared to pay for the fuel. Would I buy it? I'd probably still more than likely go for a GXL Land Cruiser with the turbo diesel engine. You're probably saving 15,000 or 20,000 straight off the bat, and using a lot less fuel, but of course foregoing some of the luxuries and some of the glam. Yeah,
you probably look a bit better in the Land Cruiser too.
I think the Land Cruiser definitely suits me better.
Absolutely. Excellent.
You rugged thing.
Joel Hills, as always, good to talk to you, man. We'll chat next week.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers.
Motorists are taking more notice than ever about how their car ownership affects the environment. But Did you know that simply keeping your car clean can also be environmentally damaging? If you want to do the right thing and keep potentially harmful chemicals out of the drains, then invest in the EcoCar car cleaning range from Altrex Auto Accessories. EcoCar are a range of effective and environmentally safe products that every Australian garage should have, and they contain environmentally friendly ingredients including natural coconut and aloe vera. You can purchase the EcoCar car cleaning range from the Altrex Auto Accessories online store at altrex.com.au.
For the latest truck and bus industry news, visit heavyvehicles.com.au. We bring you coverage of the latest new models, new technologies, and issues that matter to owners and drivers. Read heavy vehicle reviews, and you can win some great truck-related prizes too. heavyvehicles.com.au. Truck and bus news every day.
Behind the wheel.
Behind the wheel, where motoring starts.
Well, Simon Lai's been getting around Sydney driving as if his hair was on fire.
Oh, yes, he does that,
of course. That's the way you drive when you're in a Honda Civic Type R.
That's how Simon rolls.
And the wings on the Honda Civic Type R and the fins and the bits and pieces that are attached to it. They're very bits. Simon Lai.
Well, they actually are, and mind you, we're teasing him a bit here, but oh gosh, it's a great car. I love my time with the Type R. Oh,
fantastic car, absolutely. Yeah. Another fantastic person would be the gorgeous Rachel Franco, and everybody will have to agree this week she's fantastic because she's come up with a way of getting free money via green slips from the New South Wales government.
Wow.
I know.
I tell you what, good work, Rachel.
Indeed.
Well played.
Coming soon, but before we get there, we're going to talk to one of our mates from finder.com.au. You hear them advertised everywhere and they offer some great services. They also do some great research and, in fact, they've been hard at it in the last couple of months, looking at some of the most dangerous things Australian drivers have done behind the wheel.
Oh, this is a revelation, I tell you what.
Isn't it just? To tell us a bit more about it from finder.com.au, it's the very lovely Elizabeth Barry. G'day, Elizabeth. How are you going?
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me on.
Great pleasure. Elizabeth, what led you to this research? And do you think everyone was completely honest when they were saying, no, I've never done that in a car?
Yeah, I mean, we have a real interest in cars at Finder. So we have a car insurance comparison, car loans comparison. So we really just wanted to find out, you know, how people were using their cars and really what people were doing in those cars. So we surveyed 1,800 drivers, and we actually found some really interesting things that people were doing in their vehicles. So we actually found that the majority, 70% of people, admit to potentially dangerous activities whilst behind the wheel of a car. So some of those risky habits include eating takeaway food.
Does that include soft serve ice cream?
Soft serve. Oh, no, don't tell me. Yes.
What about Big Mac without... Oh, no, quarter pounder. Quarter pounder's good because they don't fall apart.
Oh, no, I don't.
You just take the pickle out before you open and then you can kind of go with the one hand.
Oh, Elizabeth, I'm so sorry about Miller.
So you guys are guilty of that, are you? I can put you in that number.
Okay.
I could be a little bit guilty of the occasional soft serve cone in the day.
What about every time I have to take a press car from you and it's filled with flaky pastry?
No,
it's like I've just eaten 17 sausage rolls in this car.
No, that's enough of that. Let's move on to the next one. Oh, wait a sec. What is the next one? Well, I've never smoked in a car because I don't smoke.
Oh, well, that's good. Well, look, eating takeaway food and, you know, smoking is one thing, but we also found that quite a few people are still sending text messages and picking up a phone call while they're driving. So we found 28% admit to sending text messages while they're driving, and 27% are answering their phones. So that's really, really risky behaviour.
Yes. Now, I noticed that some of your research points out that maybe Queenslanders are more likely to have microsleeps and possibly West Australian drivers. And you'd have to think that has something to do with the distances involved in driving in both those states.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's definitely huge differences in the states. We actually found that people in WA are the most risky drivers. Only 25% reported that they never participated in the listed dangerous activities. And that may be because, you know, it's such a huge state and people are driving those really long distances.
I was interested in some of the other ones too, applying makeup behind the wheel. Anyone we know guilty of that?
I always get my lipstick ruined.
Not you, Miller. I was wondering whether anybody else in our conversation. Oh, hello, Elizabeth. There you are.
I have to admit that, yes, I am one of the 25% of women that, not 25%, the 14% of women that admit to applying makeup behind the wheel. I am definitely guilty of that, and it is a really, really risky behaviour to engage in. Because you have to look in the mirror, don't you?
Yes, I suppose it is. I'd never actually thought of that.
I like number 10.
Oh, no.
How do you do that? How do you read a newspaper or book while driving? How is that even possible?
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, especially in the world of podcasts and things like that, like, well, you don't need to read. No, you can be entertained while you're driving.
You can turn on this Logie Award-deserving podcast and away you go. We love it.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah, we did get some really, really interesting answers as well when people could actually nominate some of the things that we didn't actually suggest to them.
So okay.
One of the ones that we found was someone actually admitted to challenging themselves to drive for as long as possible with their eyes closed.
Oh, no.
Yes.
What an idiot.
That is something that is happening on the roads as we speak.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, I mean, dangerous driving, you know, it can lead to accidents. It's super dangerous. And, you know, all of these activities are just not great.
Mm.
I mean, and if you actually, you know, end up in an accident, depending on what you're doing, you might still be able to claim for these accidents if you have comprehensive car insurance. But if you are found to be at fault, you know, you may have to pay for it yourself.
Yes, or worse, if you have an accident and somebody in your car or another car is injured or worse, killed, you have that on your conscience for the rest of time.
Oh, exactly. I mean, you know, and all for what, you know, sending a quick text message or answering a phone call. I mean, it's just not worth it at the end of the day.
There are one or two things, however, that might make your hair stand on end and your eyes pop out on stalks, and that is maybe noticing a huntsman spider just casually wandering along the inside of the windscreen dangerously towards you and getting ready to jump. What do you do with that one?
Look, I have no advice because this has happened to me once and I had to pull over and get out of the car. So, I mean, apart from doing that, I have no advice for someone if you're on a highway or anything like that. But try and pull over and just find a safe place to stop. Because if you cause an accident, again, you know, it comes down to your insurance, whether you can actually claim, whether you have to pay in excess as well, and how that's going to affect your premium.
That's it. Correct. And obviously, if you are pulling over on any high-speed roadway, so that means a road anything over 80 kilometres an hour, you really are in danger from just passing motors. So get off the freeway, get as far away from that traffic as you possibly can, and keep yourself safe because there's some horrible stuff that happens out there. You've been doing other research too, I noticed. There's all sorts of things on the go here. You guys are just really busy at everything.
Fantastic.
Looking
stuff.
At kind of what sort of effect autonomous driving or autonomous vehicles is going to have on the insurance industry. And I imagine it would be a big one. I know, for example, Volvo have said, you know, if any of their cars crash while, you know, they're in autonomous mode, well, Volvo take responsibility. But there are other makers who are not quite so clear cut as to who is responsible for paying for the damage that a car causes if it's in self-drive mode. What's Finder found out?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the question, isn't it? And the fact is that we really don't know. Driverless vehicles are actually, you know, just up and coming right now. I mean, we're seeing instances of, you know, Uber drivers in the US and, you know, actually running over passengers and their programs being, you know, disbanded. You know, it's still very much in the testing phase, driverless vehicles.
Oh, yes.
And I think that people are still having these conversations about who is responsible, you know, whether it's the car manufacturer and how insurance companies are actually going to deal with that. You know, until the technology actually catches up, I don't think those questions are going to be answered.
Yeah, I think that's very well said. And I don't think that we've quite reached the end of the road for proving the safety of autonomous vehicles anyway. And I think recent events prove that.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, you know, a lot of new vehicles have some really amazing features that offer autonomous driving. I'm sure you guys are all across this, you know, the self-assist with parking and everything like that. So autonomous driving has caught up in certain features, but, you know, pure autonomous driving where the car is driving itself, I mean, we're just not there yet. And until we are there, you know, you're still going to be responsible for driving the car and you're still going to have to be, you know, the one claiming for that insurance if you do crash and you're relying on your autonomous features.
Well, I suppose Finder will keep us up to date, Elizabeth, when you've got some more sort of data and information on these autonomous cars. In the meantime, my family's getting together on the weekend. Mum drives a Nissan Pulsar. Dad's got the Hilux. My sister's got a BA Falcon, a couple of Commodores in the family as well. Look, we're thinking about heading to somewhere in Victoria, but we're concerned that our cars might get stolen. Any advice on where not to go?
You still have the vehicles.
Of course, he's referring to your list of the most stolen models in Australia, and they're all there.
Who steals a Nissan Pulsar? That's what I don't get. Why would you?
There was some really interesting findings. So we did an analysis of some data, and we found you know, the top five car models that were stolen in Australia. And yeah, you mentioned a couple there. That the number one car model that was stolen was the Holden Commodore.
Yep, the VE.
That's right. So the Commodore actually featured twice on the list. The VY coming in fifth. And yeah, number two was the N15 Pulsar.
It just shows you car thieves have no taste at all. Do they?
Just hear that as an editorial there, Elizabeth. It's just
feel free to put in your opinions about what cars you would like to steal.
None of them on that list, actually. You can keep them all.
What cars ideally would you like to steal then?
Oh, Porsche 911, you know, Ferrari 458.
And I suppose
I'm going to suggest that they are securely locked in their garages.
Which, yeah, I think so. You know, is the where ideal they should place be. To,
exactly, exactly. I mean, you know, you can actually receive discounts from insurers if you have your car securely locked in your garage. So I recently moved, and I finally got a parking spot with my apartment, and I basically submitted some updates to my car insurance policy, and I got a $60 discount with my insurer.
Done that too. I should ring my insurance company.
That's a very good idea.
Yeah, get in touch with your insurer.
Yeah.
They like to know that vehicles are secure and that their people are taking care of them, and they'll reward you.
And also that the keys are safely locked away. And
You leave your keys at the front door.
Do you think?
Absolutely. No, well, you've got these crime gangs, you know, for example, in Melbourne home invasions, they're coming to get your car. So if you leave your car keys at the front door, there you go.
Yeah, I suppose you could do that as well. Yes.
Yeah, that's interesting. You don't want them looking through the house for the car keys.
No, that's true.
No.
Well said.
We are running out of time rapidly, Elizabeth, but before you go, you come up with some great data about places that are the most the biggest hotspots for car theft. How does it stack up?
Yeah, so unfortunately for Victorians, that was the number one state for car theft in Australia. So there were 15,332 vehicles stolen in Victoria in 2017. 12,768 of those were cars.
Yeah.
So quite a large number there. And then second in Australia was New South Wales. So we're about 10,000. So I'm in New South Wales, so it's a bit worrying to me. I don't really want the idea of, you know, my car being stolen or anything. Not that my car was on that list, but still.
Yeah, gotcha.
But it's interesting to note that the Northern Territory actually had the lowest number of car thefts, but they actually had the highest percentage based on their population.
Oh, okay, right.
Oh, I see.
See, I would have thought it would have been Canberra, because any time I've ever been to Canberra, the first thing to do is get out.
Get out.
I'm surprised there's not more cars stolen in Canberra.
Hey, they're telling us that Canberra is just a renaissance. It's the most wonderful city.
Tell us what they like. Have you been there recently? I was there last Easter, and it was
editorializing again, Elizabeth.
Is anybody awake in this town? I tell you, it's been a really informative chat, and I can't tell you how much we value all this awesome data you've got. Look, don't be a stranger. Come back and visit us again. Elizabeth Barry from finder.com.au. Great to spend some time with you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Australian families looking for the ideal vehicle for their needs are often left frustrated. Some vehicles seem to tick all the boxes but then cost the earth. Others are well priced but don't have the space or features that families need. Stop compromising, as there is an option that won't leave you wanting more. The new Havel H9. Boasting a 180kW turbo engine, 8-speed auto, 5-year warranty, real off-road ability, and 7-seat capacity, the Havel H9 just can't be beaten. Visit your local Havel dealership today or havel.com.au.
You've heard us on the radio. Now check out the Behind the Wheel website. At behindthewheel.com.au, you can browse all our latest car reviews and car product reviews too. You can also watch our video car reviews and check out all the latest auto news. And make sure you leave your comments. Give us feedback, ask for advice, or just let us know all about your car. Behindthewheel.com.au, where motoring starts.
Behind the Wheel.
On the road. Accelerated by behindthewheel.com.au.
Yeah, we're going to talk about an awesome product from our great mates at Alltrex Auto Accessories in just a couple of minutes. We're talking to Rachel Franco as well. She's got info, Pete, on how to get free money from the New South Wales government.
Terrific. If there's free money being given
she's
out,
she's going to go viral, you
put
know.
Me in the queue.
It'll be
That's
everywhere.
All I can say.
Yep, yeah, indeed. A man who's been everywhere at 4,000 miles an hour this week. It's the one and only Simon Lai from a Honda Civic Type R. Hi, Simon.
Hi, Chris. Hi, Pete. How you going?
Great to talk to you, and I'm wondering whether you love the Honda Civic Type R as much as we did.
Oh, what's not to love? I mean, look at it. It looks the part. We haven't seen it for a while. I was just itching to get into one again.
Absolutely. Now, I suppose some people have said to me that because it's manual only, they're disappointed and wouldn't buy one. I've called them fools to their faces. But do you think the manual only gearbox will hold them back?
I thought these type of cars are only manual.
Yeah, that's the way you want to drive it.
Yeah. It was fantastic. A six-speed gearbox. It really did a great job. I found that it's just one of those cars that you really love to drive. You didn't want to give up the key, really. It's fantastic around corners. The grip is amazing. The steering as well is just so precise and direct and really, really sticks those corners. It's in the same ballpark as like a Focus RS or like a Golf R. You know, it's just a small, compact hot hatch that is built for that kind of drive.
Absolutely. Yes. And, of course, tried and tested on the Nürburgring and the fastest car ever, fastest front-wheel drive car at least ever around the Nürburgring. Sometimes, however, that can compromise day-to-day use. It can make it a nightmare going down the shops and accidentally going over a rutted road and, you know, needing spinal surgery afterwards.
Except I didn't find that.
I didn't either.
Lovely to live with.
Yeah.
What did you think,
Simon? Yeah, it was good. Yeah, I mean, Hondas usually are like that. And even though this is the sportier model, it seemed to be just as comfortable as the others. It wasn't really harsh, like, say, the RS that I mentioned. That one I found was really bone-jarring.
Yeah, or the Renault Megane RS there, they're pretty similar. You kind of, you need sort of some, what's that blue lip muscle or green lip muscle that fixes your arthritis?
Arthritis, it's supposed to, yes.
That's what you get after driving one of those.
Now, how are you getting on with your pharmacy training here, Simon?
It did have a comfort mode as well. So, you know, if you wanted to change the suspension.
Did you actually ever put it in comfort mode?
Yeah,
I did.
Give it a try.
You did.
Yeah,
did you? No, I didn't.
But I didn't know. Oh, no, mate.
Flat out, mate. Yes.
I got to test everything, you know.
Okay.
But surprisingly, there's quite a good bit of power there, too, in comfort. But, of course, you're going to tend to drive it in the sports or the plus armor.
Oh, love it.
What did you think about the wings, the fins, the bits and pieces that are stuck on? I don't think there's a panel on that car that doesn't have some sort of appendage stuck to it somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, for some people, they probably think it's a bit too much, but we need that nowadays, don't we?
Yes.
Like, we're missing those type of cars, and like I said, if it's about performance and maneuverability, you want it to look like that's what it does. I mean, I mentioned the Golf before, even though that may perform really well and maybe similar to this one, it looks rather subdued, you know? You don't really look at it and go, oh, this looks like a fast car.
No.
Whereas this one, you know, it's like you said, it's got bits sticking off everywhere. There's grills and spoilers and diffusers and air intakes and the big wing at the back. And that doesn't get in the way either. They make it nice and high and takes the shape of the window so it doesn't obstruct your rear view.
When I was driving it a couple of weeks ago, I decided to test it out with the Snapchat audience, which skews a bit younger than other online platforms. And they raved about it. The response was overwhelming. People just loved the look.
Clever millennials out there after all.
Of course there are. Yeah, they're terrific. Yeah, and the car is amazing and it's bright and boppy and fun to live with. What else do you want?
52 grand? Is it too expensive?
About 51. But I don't think so. I think that's really reasonable. It was lower than I expected. I mean, for all the features that you get, we haven't even mentioned them. You know, it's fitted out with quite a few things. It's not just about the drive.
No.
Like we said, you know, the look, the appeal, you get red and black interior, you get red seat belts, you know, there's some really nice stuff.
Nicely done. Either that or you could go out.
And the drive, you can't go past that.
No.
The only thing I'd probably mention is that it didn't really have the right exhaust note. Like, I really expected it to be a bit more...
Yeah, a bit more pop and crackle required.
It didn't sound as fast as it looks or as powerful as it looks. And there were a few small panel gap issues. But, you know, overall, it's a fantastic car.
Really is. I love it. Honda Civic Type R. If you haven't seen one, go to your Honda dealer. Take one for a drive. I think they're great. And, of course, you can read with interest at behindthewheel.com.au. Simon Lai's review of the Honda Civic Type R. Mate, be good, be careful, and hopefully this time next week you'll still have your driver's license intact.
No worries.
Yep, product review time for our good friends at Alltrex Auto Accessories. You can get them anytime, alltrex.com.au. Head there now, I'd suggest, and pick up yourself a 1 litre spray bottle of the CarPlan Demon Clean Active Super Cleaner. It's a product that you really do need to have at your disposal next time you want to clean the car. You can use it on your dashboards, door jams, sill panels, door trims, external rubber, headlights, paintwork, glass, even your car's fabric upholstery. It's as simple as spray it on and wipe it off for a clean and dust-free finish. Remarkably good value too, time-saving, and a genuinely likeable product if you can like a cleaning product. Can you?
Well, of course you can.
I'm fond of Jif as well, but I also am fond of CarPlan Demon Active Super Cleaner. Go and pick yourself up a bottle of it right now at alltrex.com.au. Yep, this is a bit. I know we've got people from right around the world tuning in to hear this particular segment, Pete, of Behind the Wheel.
Of course they are.
And I think once it actually, you know, is broadcast over the airwaves, this is going to be one that we'll be listening to in years to come.
Yes, it'll be that moment.
It'll
do you remember what you were doing when you heard Rachel Franco talking about free money?
I know.
Oh.
Take note of where you are right now as we welcome her to the show. Hi, Rach.
I love these intros. It just really inflates my ego.
Well, you know, you really deserve this one because
you do.
I get a text message going, I've come up with this cunning plan of how you can get free money out of the New South Wales government via a green slip. Now, when you said green slip, I had no idea what you were talking about.
I know pink slips, but that's different altogether.
What's a green slip to start with?
Green slip is your...
You don't know either, do you?
No, I just try to find the right word. This is a compulsory insurance component.
Right.
So to register a car in New South Wales, you must have a green slip.
Okay.
So that protects everyone else on the road against, like, from you.
Right, okay. So if, God forbid, somebody is injured in an accident, that green slip covers their medical expenses, for
example.
Exactly
right.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, so you can have to have a green slip. You don't have to have comprehensive insurance,
sure,
but you must have a green slip.
Called third-party insurance in Victoria.
That's exactly right. So in New South Wales, the whole green slip gig hasn't been reformed for about 18 years.
Okay.
And particularly in the last few years, and I'd heard about this, I'd read about it in sort of different publications and stuff about there's been a lot of scamming, I think, involved with people sort of claiming false claims through the green slip process. In addition to this, and another reason why the government decided to reform the whole thing was that payouts for injury claims were taking 3 to 5 years to settle.
Wow.
So people were getting injured in car accidents and still not getting their money.
Years.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Not good at all, no.
So last year they decided to reform the whole thing, and as a result of that, a lot of us have been overpaying for our green slip, so are entitled to a refund,
Excellent.
An adjustment.
Oh, great. I was getting scared there because I thought you were going to be recommending insurance fraud for a second.
Oh, gosh,
that's
no.
Probably not a good idea.
No, never do that.
But it's basically you may well have been overpaying your premiums.
Exactly right. You can go on to Service New South Wales, so that website is service.newsouthwales.gov.au. All you have to do is create a sign-on, log in, attach your bank account details to your profile and punch in your registration and whatever details they ask you for, and it tells you how much refund you're entitled to and it will pay it back directly into your bank account. So I got free money. I got $117 back.
Oh, that is amazing.
Bloody
well
beautiful.
Done. Oh, marvellous. You can't knock that. That's terrific.
It's fantastic. I didn't have to rob bank or wait for lotto to pay out or anything. So it's... thank you very much.
Studio audience loves it.
But definitely worth looking into because almost everyone will get a refund of some sort up to about, I think it's about $150 or $160. So
nice.
Depending on how much you've overpaid.
Depends on how much you get back.
Yeah, exactly. Hop on that website and check it out.
So
get some free money.
So what did Rachel Franco do with her spare $114?
$117. My $117.
If you say you paid a phone bill with it, I'm never having you back on the show again.
No, I will be honest, it's going towards... I'm taking my mum on the GAN next year for her 70th.
Oh, beautiful.
And that thing's costing me an arm and a leg, so that $117 is going towards that massive bill that I've got to pay for that trip.
Yeah.
But you can,
I wonder how much do you reckon it is for the GAN?
Oh, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
One ticket's almost $3,000.
Wow. I tell you what, I'll drive you through the desert in a luxury car and I'll charge you $1,500. How's that?
You just stick a trailer on the back and I can sit in the trailer while you drive the trailer.
Exactly. Awesome. And then you can move up to the dining car and, you know, we can serve you minties in the back seat.
Nice. As long as it's 5-star, I don't care.
Of course. Always would be. Rachel Franco, we're out of time. Thank you very much. Look forward to chatting to you again next week.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Peter Hitchener, enjoy those soft serve ice creams and baked goods that you get from all those sausage roll shops.
Who
puts crumbs in the cars if it's not you?
I don't know. It must be a pixie of some kind. But the thing is, I'm off sugar, so don't even mention soft serve cones or I'll want one.
Right. I wonder why you look like you're going to hit me when I said soft serve cone. As always, thanks so much. We'll catch you again for another edition of Behind the Wheel. Same time, same place next week.
Cheers.
Havel's just released a new family 7-seater SUV, the Havel H9. A finalist in the 2017 4x4 Australia Awards, the Havel H9 is an impressive SUV, boasting a 180kW turbo engine, smooth 8-speed auto, 5-year warranty, real off-road ability, and 7-seat capacity. The luxurious Havel H9 will take you to the outback and back in complete comfort. It's the ultimate family adventure SUV. Visit your Havel dealer to see what everyone is raving about, or havel.com.au.
There's no doubt Australians love European cars. And on those European cars, Australians love to fit European-style license plates. To complete the Euro image and ensure your special plates are protected against theft, fading and other damage, make sure you get them the best possible protection. We are, of course, talking Altrex number plate protectors. Order your European number plate protectors now from the online store at altrex.com.au and they'll be shipped straight to your door. Altrex.com.au.